Fearless faith, Daniel in the lion's den. Please turn to Daniel chapter 6 in your Bibles, and I want us to hear from the Word of God, for the Word of God is what changes us. It's one of our core values as a church. God's Word in us changes us. So please stand as we read Daniel chapter 6. We're going to read verses 19 through 27. If you've been a Christ follower for many, many years, please quietly pray that the Holy Spirit will give you a fresh eyes to a very familiar story. If you've never read this story before, pray that it would make sense to you for your life today. Daniel 6, beginning with verse 19. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad, and he commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." Father in heaven, we too declare you are the living true God that can deliver us as well. Lord, I know in this room there are fears and anxieties. There's lions that we are facing. I pray, Lord, you'd give us the faith, the confidence, that you are a God that saves. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Please watch this video of a lion fight. Go Hercules. So how do we transition from this visual picture? On the one hand, we have Hercules taking on this overpowering lion with his physical brute strength. The other extreme that I have to fight against this morning is that many of you have heard this story so many times, you see it with flannel graph eyes. You know what I'm talking about here. The story of Daniel in the lion's den has been so sanitized and put down to the G audience. When you're talking to kids, you want to simplify it and you want to sanitize it. And so I have the flannel graph image that you have in your mind of a simple story that really wasn't too dangerous, but it was a nice little story in the Old Testament, to the other extreme of Hercules fighting this brute animal. And now we come to God's Word. And we realize that the lions were as fierce as the video you just saw. These were not tame lions. These were fierce, man-eating animals at that point. They had been trained to do that. So do not over-sanitize it. But instead of Daniel having brute strength or amazing weapons, he had a simple faith relationship with the living God. 74% of the world's population today live in a country where social hostilities involving religion are high. 74%, according to Pew Research Center Christianity Today magazine. We are living in a world of lions. So where did Daniel get his courage? This is the number one question we're going to try to answer in just a few minutes. Because if we can answer this question, we can find an application of this story to our lives today. If I can figure out where did Daniel get his courage, then I can figure out where I can get the same courage. Because, by the way, the same courage that Daniel had is the same courage that's offered to you. So number one, he was full of the Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that Daniel tapped into is the same Holy Spirit that we can tap into. In a relationship with God, look at what it says, chapter 6, verse 3. This Daniel became distinguished among all the other presidents and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. They don't understand it, they're just describing it. There's something in Daniel that no one else has. We know the New Testament application of that teaching, and that is that for every Christ follower, we have been given the Holy Spirit. John 7, 37 through 39, the Bible says, if you believe on Jesus, you will receive living water, and the living water is the Holy Spirit. So what advantage does it have when you have the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, the New Testament teaches us that power comes from the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus promised. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to have power. Boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. It says they were filled with the Spirit, and they spoke with boldness. Words to speak come from the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. It's not in us to know what to say, but the Holy Spirit will give us the words. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be upon the Messiah, and therefore he would speak with wisdom. Victory over demons comes from the Holy Spirit, Matthew 12, 28. Miracles come from the Holy Spirit, Romans 15, 19. So let me clarify a very clear definition here. In the Old Testament, their relationship with the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit was with the man or woman of God. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is in the man or woman of God. John 14, 17 clarifies this teaching where Jesus says, referring to the Holy Spirit, he dwells with you, referring to the disciples, and then he makes a promise and will be in you. After his death and his resurrection, after the Holy Spirit would come down upon the believers, then from then on, a new relationship would be with the Holy Spirit. You will be afraid. I will be afraid. We will feel inadequate. We will feel overwhelmed. The lions are very scary in this world, symbolically speaking. But God has given us the Holy Spirit to empower us. That's secret number one of Daniel's courage. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Number two, second secret is that he was faithful. So often we shoot ourselves in the foot in the area of courage because our life does not match our belief system. And that saps the courage right out of us. Daniel was faithful with people. Chapter 6, verse 4. They sought to find a ground of complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault. He was faithful. No corruption. A man of integrity. In the New Testament, it teaches us that there's a qualification for a pastor or for an elder. By the way, Pastor Jim in our church teaches a group of men we called elders in training, relationship elder training. And every Wednesday night, if a person wants to be a leader in our church, they're required to go through this 9-month training class. And by the way, this year has been an amazing group of, I think, around 10 or 12. And one of the qualifications is to be above reproach. And we know that this does not mean that you have to be perfect before you're a leader, but what it means is there's no valid evidence of unresolved wrongdoing. And by the way, that's really the standard for every Christ follower, not just for elders. In fact, it says in Philippians 2:15 that you be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And as we sang that song about the powers of darkness, and we're living in a crooked world, but the Christ follower can live such a life that you can be a light in the darkness. Maybe that's what God is calling you to do this morning, to remember that you are the light in the place of darkness. In 1 Peter 2:12, it says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. When everything becomes clear in the day of accountability, though they might have been on your case your entire life about your Christianity, when they face Jesus, they'll have to admit and say, that person shined your light, and I saw it. It'd be part of their judgment, really. There's a story of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. He was wanting to find out which of his friends would be trustworthy, which one of his friends would be above reproach. So he sent a letter. In our day, it would have been an email, but in that day, he actually sent a letter to all of his friends, and it only had some very simple instructions to it. It said, fly at once, all is discovered. And he found out that every one of his friends that he sent the letter to quickly left town. And that showed him that they were not men of integrity. They were hiding something. And so Daniel had courage because he knew that he had been faithful with people. He was also faithful with God. Chapter 6, verse 10, he got down on his knees. Now, you don't have to be on your knees to pray, but it is one of the ways that you can pray, to show humility, to show submission, to show honor and respect. For some of you who have physical problems, that might be impossible. It's not a requirement. But 3 times a day he prayed, gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Now, he opened the windows, not to show off. There's a little bit of a tension because in the New Testament it tells us to go to a closet and to pray. And so some people say, well, then you can never pray in any other situation. And that is not true. That is a good way to pray, especially if you're struggling with pride, because it is between you and God, not anybody else. But that's not the only way to pray. Throughout the Bible, there's public prayers. There's opportunities to let people know. So we find that Daniel prayed and he gave thanks. Now, here's an exile in a foreign country, in so many words, in slavery. He's not a free citizen, so to speak, and yet he is giving thanks. Maybe that's the key to his courage, that he not only was consistent in his prayers, but the way he prayed. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't saying, oh, God, this world's terrible, and you're not taking care of me, and how come things are going bad? But he was thanking God. How could he do that? Because God is still sovereign, no matter what this world is doing. God still can be trusted. God's promises are sure. God's will has a good outcome. And God is worthy to be served. And therefore, Daniel gave thanks. Because those things did not ever change, no matter what the world did. The laws of the land changed. A new law had come about, and now he had to deal with that new law. The laws of the land change. The leaders of a land change. The environment of your friends change. But God does not change. And you can trust in him and be thankful to him. And so it says here in verse 16, may your God whom you serve continually deliver you, which is an interesting description of a person's life. In fact, later in verse 20, he calls Daniel the servant of the living God. By the way, that's, I believe, one of the best descriptions of a Christ follower. We are servants of the living God. That's what we see in the New Testament, Ephesians 6:6, as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. 1 Peter 2:16, live as servants of God. James 1:1, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't figured that out about your Christianity, then you're missing the key element of Christianity. Because the key to your faithfulness is to say, I have an identity, and it's called the servant. If you don't have that identity in your Christ life, then you're going to miss the faithfulness. Because if you don't see yourself as a servant, then what your choices don't really relate to who he is and what he's asking you to do. You just do whatever you want to do. But when you're a servant of the living God, then now all of your choices have a lot to do with him, who you are serving. Verse 23, they describe Daniel, he had trusted in his God. So the Christ follower realizes that I'm going to be faithful to the God who has loved me and gave his son for me, and I'm going to be faithful in my responsibilities horizontally, and I'm going to be a man of faith, and in that, God will give you courage. One of my favorite verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Read it out loud with me, please. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That's where courage comes from. Number three, third key to Daniel's fearless faith, his courage, is that he feared God, not man. You got to get this straight in your head. Why would you fear God and not man? Number one, he is the living God. Verse 26, the king recognizes, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Why? For he is the living God. It's a very interesting awareness that he now has. That he is surrounded by idolatry and he's surrounded by worshiping of gods. But now he comes to this light in the darkness moment. The one that Daniel is serving is the living God. What does that mean? Here's the implication. That he is the only true God. There's many people that claim a worship of some kind, but this is the only true God. All others are not real. He's the living God. Our prayers are someone alive. Did you know that when you pray, you're talking to somebody that's real and alive? Have you ever been frustrated on the phone talking to a computer? Please give me somebody that's breathing and living and real. Because that matters to us, does it not? Because we don't want just right information. We want a relationship to talk to somebody. The promises we trust are from someone who can fulfill them. Why? Because he's the living God. You can pray to someone like, let's say, Abraham Lincoln, and think, well, I really admire him, and I really respect him, and I appreciated him as a leader, but he's dead. Okay, he cannot come and help you tomorrow with your struggles, but I want to tell you, who can? It's the living God that can come and help you. I was given through an email forwarding, Erwin Lutzer, connected to Moody Church and Moody Bible Institute, spoke recently at their Founders Week. If you haven't listened to that, you should get on their webpage. And he had the audience read a renouncement of fear, and I think I'm not going to give you the whole thing today, but you can pick this up at the Connection Center if you want. So please, let's read this out loud together. So this prayer to renounce fear. I reject the fear of the future, for I believe that the future is in your hands. I reject the fear of evildoers, for your word says, though an enemy encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. I renounce the fear of rejection, for David wrote in your holy word, for my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. I renounce the fear of witnessing about Christ, because as your word warns, the fear of man brings a snare. Therefore, I choose to fear you more than I do any human being. I affirm the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I renounce the fear of losing my property and possessions, for your word says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I renounce the fear of Satan, for your word says he has already been conquered by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I renounce the fear of saying goodbye to a terminally ill loved one, for Jesus promised, "Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." I renounce the fear of death, for I affirm with the Apostle Paul, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Thank you for the promise. Death is swallowed up in victory. I renounce the fear of martyrdom, for your word declares, "Do not fear those who are able to kill the body, but fear him rather who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." I renounce the fear of loneliness, for we are promised our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And also I will never leave you nor forsake you. And again, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I renounce the fear of intimidation, for Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I renounce the fear of false accusations. I accept this promise. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I renounce the fear of being treated unjustly, for of Jesus we read that when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. And it's time for Christ followers to renounce fear, for that is not the will of God for your life. Daniel feared the Lord, not man. He is the living God. He also recognized that God endures forever. Verse 26, this is the king referring to Daniel's God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. There's an awareness that every king has, and that is their time is going to be up someday. And so they are maneuvering and trying to figure out, you know, who of my descendants can take the throne? And we might be looking at that next year. Another Clinton-Bush election. Could that happen? Let us pray. But every ruler has that in the back of their mind. How can my kingdom go on? And so when I think of the kingdom of Jesus, let me just give you some words to hang your hat on today. There is no shelf life with the kingdom of Jesus. There's no expiration date. There's no term limits. There's no plan B. There's no backup plan. There is no successor to the kingdom of Jesus. Because Psalms 10:16 says the Lord is king forever and ever. He is king forever and ever. That gives us confidence. You can pour your life into a certain leader or a certain business or a certain employer, but you have to know somewhere along the line that's going to end. But with Jesus, it does not end. Third, he delivers his people. Verse 27, he delivers and rescues. Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. So when you put God first in your life, I will not fear man. I will fear the Lord. I will submit to him. The Lord says he will encircle his angels around you. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. That's the king talking. So what we're aware of is we can face natural obstacles and natural dilemmas and natural enemies, natural limitations. Okay, but here's the courage moment. God overcomes the natural with the supernatural. Okay, don't ever forget that. You are trusting in a supernatural God that is greater than any natural obstacle you are facing in your life. He who has saved Daniel, this is the king talking, from the power of the lions. In that culture, the power of the lions was at the top. I mean, there is no way you're going to humanly get through this. And there are some people that are looking at your situation today, and they're saying, there's no way you can humanly get through it. And we don't have to argue that. Of course, we cannot do this humanly. This is not about us. This is not about our abilities. I cannot do it alone. And that's when God shows up. Because it will be, when God shows up, a very clear miracle. There will be a clear deliverance, a clear supernatural protection. For when we have nothing and God comes in and provides, it's going to be all about Him. There will be a clear connection between what happened and Daniel's relationship with God. There is everything stacked against Daniel. And then God shows up and everybody's going to say, "Wow, Daniel, you're such a cool guy." No. They're going to say, "Daniel, what a great God you have." And it's time for us as Christ followers to realize that that's what we want people to say about us. Not about how great we are, but what a great God you have. Oswald Chambers said these words, "The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else." You've got to decide what you're going to fear. Either God, and then your life becomes peaceful because He's in charge. Or you can fear the world and all the things of the world, and you'll live a life of fear. Martin Luther King Jr. said these words, "The minute you conquer the fear of death, at that moment you are free. I submit to you that if a man hasn't discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live." So now we've run out of time, and I want to just share a couple of quick thoughts here. Let's get to the story. Quick summary. The fearless faith of Daniel. He had courage. Okay? The command of the land changed. Pray to the king 30 days. The consequence, you'll be cast into the den of lions. The courage of Daniel, what does he do? Throws the windows open, gets on his knees, and prays 3 times a day. Did you know that those people had to be watching him to be able to have the accusation be valid? They had to watch him all day. They knew it was 3 times, not just once, because they'd been watching him all day. Guess what? There are people watching you, and they're watching me. Solomon's prayer in 1 Kings 8. If your people pray to the Lord toward the city that you have chosen, the house that I have built for your name. There is no magic in the direction that you pray. Please don't get misunderstood here. I don't want to be misunderstood. But there was this idea that no matter where you were in the world, if you could just think about the promises God gave to His people, according to the nation of Israel, you could realize the power in the God who has a relationship with the people of Israel. Psalms 55, evening and morning, and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and He hears my voice. I think it's good to have a faithful commitment to prayer, but the New Testament just ramps it up a little bit more. Pray without ceasing. So make your whole life be one that communes with God. So what happens to Daniel? He's cast into the lion's den. Most likely an underground pit, or a dugout cave of some kind. The concern of the king. The king now spends the night fasting, no diversions, no entertainment, no sleep, and at the break of day, he runs to the cave, or the pit. I just want to make a quick application here. Here's the comparison of how you can live your life. The king's palace and all the pleasures of the world, and all it is full of anxiety and fear. That night was a terrible night for the king. Comfortable environment, the pleasures of the world available, but no peace. Or you could spend the night in the lion's den with Daniel, full of peace. Isn't that interesting how the world can have everything and they have no peace? The clear vindication and protection. Verse 22, "My God sent His angel and shut the lion's mouths." Isn't that great? Daniel knew exactly what happened. Did Daniel see the angel? I think he did. He knew exactly what was happening. He knew it wasn't an accident. He didn't sit there and go, "Wow, that's kind of weird. The lions are leaving me alone." I don't think he thought that. He knew the angel of the Lord was right there and shut the lions' mouths. Hungry lions, fierce lions. "And they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before Him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." So as I told the kids a little bit, this is really a misnamed story. It should read, "The Lions in Daniel's Den." You see, Daniel's in charge there with his God. And the lions are in his presence, not Daniel in the presence of the lions. Or someone also suggested that the real miracle of the story is that cats obey. But maybe not. So where does this leave us today? Verse 23, the final summary of this story, because he had trusted in his God. You want to find out where the courage comes from? You need to realize that you need supernatural help, do you not? And it's by means of the Holy Spirit that's available to anyone who puts their faith in Christ. You have to decide how you're going to live your life, faithful horizontally, faithful vertically. Fear God, not man. And what that develops is a faith that has the ability to deal with obstacles, problems, persecution, heartaches, trials. Hebrews 11:33, who through faith conquered kingdoms, stopped the mouths of lions. The president of Gordon College right now is under a lot of persecution because they took a stance on the traditional definition of marriage as a college. And so he's been in the news a lot, especially on the East Coast. And this is what he said: the crucible of crisis doesn't develop your leadership, it reveals it. I don't know what kind of trials you're going through. I don't know what kind of persecution you're going through. But the Word of God gives us hope and a direction where we can have courage. Lord God, I pray right now for the courage that we see in the life of Daniel to be ours. There are some in this world that are bringing great hostility toward Christ's followers. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Jesus. We pray for them in Nigeria right now. We pray for them in Syria and Iraq. Lord God, we pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in North Korea and in China, in Sudan and Somalia. Lord God, we pray for them to have the courage of Daniel. Lord God, I pray that we would stand firm and strong with fearless faith as a body of believers, that we would not fear man, but we would fear you, and we would put you first in every choice that we make this week. May we be above reproach, faithful to you in all that we do. Lord, I thank you for the peace that we can have in trusting you. In Jesus' name.